I wonder, am I the only person that's tired of all of this vapid emotionalism in modern religion? Maybe you are, but I especially am. A few months ago, I was getting my hair cut in Batesville, Arkansas. I'm still trying to find an Arkansas barber that I'm happy with. As you can tell, the search continues. But I was talking with a hairdresser, a lady who was trying to take care of things in this situation up top a few months ago. And you sisters might not know this, but there's a game that all hairdressers like to play. It's called 20 Questions. They ask you everything about your life while you're getting your hair cut, and they will only ask you questions when the razor's right next to your ear and you can't quite hear what they're asking you. But eventually the topic got around to what I did for a living, and I informed the nice lady there that I was a preacher. And the moment she found out that I was a preacher, she said, "Oh, Reverend, I just have to tell you exactly what's going on in my life." And I said, "Well, I'm not a reverend." She said, "You're not?" I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "You're a preacher." I said, "Well, not all preachers are reverends." And she said, "I thought all preachers were reverends." I said, "Well, I'm not." She said, "Well, to me, all preachers are." I said, "Okay." Well, she said, "Reverend, I want to let you know that I am a prayer warrior." And I said, "Well, I'm happy to hear that, ma'am." And she said, "I want to tell you about my experience. And I'll save you the 20 minutes," but she had quite a big one. And she had recently moved to a new church, and she wanted to tell me all about the new church that she was a part of. And the first question I asked, "Well, what was wrong with the old church?" And she said, "Oh, well, we started having some problems at that old church. You know, we started having some issues with the members, and we started having some disagreements. And, you know, it got to the point where we really just weren't feeling the connection to God that we had originally." She said, "You know, we just weren't feeling God's presence anymore, so we moved." I said, "Really, feeling God's presence?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "You know, that's what religion's all about, just feeling the presence of God and feeling the power of the Spirit." Well, I don't generally get into theological disagreements with people who happen to be holding razors close to my neck, but it got me thinking about this idea that modern religious people have, this emotionalism, this idea of connecting with the warm and fuzzy presence of God anytime you go to an assembly place or doing what you feel that God wants you to do. I began to ask this question to myself: what does the Bible actually have to say about feeling God's presence, feeling the power of the Spirit, and so on and so forth? I really wasn't interested in what man has to say on the subject. I'm interested in what the Bible has to say. And so I opened up the Bible and decided to do an exhaustive search and study on the subject of feeling the presence of God. And I was actually astonished at what I found. There was an individual that I was studying with in Batesville who had a t-shirt on that was a t-shirt promoting the Trinity for some reason. And it had, "Feel God and feel Christ and feel the Holy Spirit." And so I decided, well, that's an interesting idea. Let me look that up in the Scripture. And so I did an exhaustive word search in the Bible. And so the first phrase that I looked up was, "Feel God." Guess how many times that phrase is used in the King James Bible? Zero. Guess how many times the phrase, "Feel Jesus," is in Scripture? Zero. How about "feeling the Spirit"? Zero. So then I backed up and I thought, well, maybe I should just look at the word "feel" and see how many times the Bible actually talks about feeling. I was astonished to find that in the King James Version, the word "feel" is only used 8 times in the Bible. Just 8. Isn't that amazing? It's interesting to me. And the times that it was used had nothing to do with feeling God's presence. In fact, it actually had reference to various people just experiencing feelings, but not feelings of God. 2 were about Jacob feeling for Isaac in his blindness. 1 was about Moses feeling darkness. 1 was Samson feeling the pillars before he brought them down. 1 was about Job feeling satisfied with secular goods. And 1 was in Psalms about feeling thorns. 1 in Ecclesiastes about not feeling harm, but nothing about feeling the presence of God. Quite interesting. Maybe it's the KJV. Let's go with the NIV. Well, they updated that a little bit, and "feel" is used 27 times. But really, those passages of Scripture only talk about feeling jealousy or feeling better after being sick, feeling heat, but nothing about feeling the presence of God. In fact, the only verse that I could really find that might be twisted into teaching such a practice of feeling the presence of God is Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, where the Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." But this really has reference to the final judgment, as when is seen and illustrated when reading further into that chapter. Now, there is a passage of Scripture in Acts 17 and verse 27 where the Apostle Paul says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, but that's referring to groping as a blind man in the dark for God, but nothing about feeling warm, fuzzy, pleasant things when you're in the presence of God, as so often is taught in modern religion. So, the question is, if feeling God's presence or feeling the Spirit is such a big deal in our religious world, how is it that we read almost nothing about such a phenomenon in the Bible? Well, that introduces another good question, which is, if the Bible doesn't tell us what God's presence feels like, how can we really know we're feeling Him, if at all? I did have somebody recommend to me a book, 7 Ways to Sense God's Presence, but this was really just a motivational self-help book with religion slapped over it. Most people today, I understand, describe feeling God as a warm sense of comfort and jubilation. Many people describe that they feel God very strongly during times of worship and times of prayer and so on and so forth. And some take the feeling of God to the extreme. I watched Benny Hinn on TV one time. He ran around the crowd and he said, "God's in this building. Can't you feel Him?" Strange. Many people today actually pilot their lives based upon whether or not they can feel God's presence in the decisions that they make. Consider the hairdresser who chose where she went to church based upon what gave her the warm, fuzzy feelings of the presence of God. Some people make the most important of life's decisions: who they marry, where they live, what career they choose, how they want to raise their children, all based upon whether God is telling them something or not through their feelings. This, I would suggest to you, is actually a very highly dangerous way to live. I want to talk to you about a few reasons why. First of all, claiming to feel God's presence at certain times and in certain places actually flirts quite closely to blasphemy. Did you know that? Because the God of the Bible, I understand, is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. And so when we say that we only feel God's presence at certain times or certain places, we may imply that there are specific places and specific times where He isn't. We put God in a box with this idea. In fact, the psalmist said, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I were to rise on the wings of the sunrise, if I were to settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." Paul said, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands." So no, friends, I don't subscribe to this idea that we just feel the presence of God when we go to an assembly house. We ought to remember that God is not a presence to be felt. He is a creator to be loved and worshiped and obeyed. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that feel Him," no, "all them that obey Him." 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." We live in a world that is obsessed with knowing God, and we want to connect with God through our feelings, but that's not how you connect with the Creator. You connect with the Creator by obeying His word, according to 2 Thessalonians. In fact, in 1 John 2 and 3, "Hereby we do know," not think, "here we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Secondly, I'd have you know that God's will is not discovered by feeling His presence, but is actually discovered by applying our hearts to the wisdom found within the pages of the Holy Bible. Many people today justify some of the most foolish of life's decisions by saying, "I know I was doing the right thing because I could feel God's presence and I could feel Him telling me that I was on the right track." This is emotionalism. It is vapid and empty emotionalism and not Christian discipleship, and it leads men and women to sin. If today we are going to use the warm, fuzzy feelings of our hearts as a guide, I wonder what the Word of God has to say about that. Is our heart supposed to be our standard? The warm, fuzzy feelings? Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Why would God say that about our standard of living? Surely we must have a different standard. In Mark 7 and verse 27, "For from within," Jesus said, "out of the heart of men proceeds forth evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." I ask you, is our heart supposed to be our guide? He who trusts in his heart, the writer of Proverbs says, is a fool. I want to say that again. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So if trusting in our heart is foolish, according to Solomon, if it's a way that leads to death, then why would we use it to determine right and wrong? If you want to know the will that God has for you in your life, friend, don't use your heart and your feelings and your emotions as a guide. Use something more solid, something that you can find in writing, find the Word of God. People today want a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's good. But as a Christian, we have something better than just a relationship with Jesus. You know what we have? We have a covenant with Jesus. We have an agreement with Jesus, and it's better than gold. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So while on earth, we can experience these things through our faith. Our faith leads us to knowing God and knowing His will. Faith is knowing that God is present in the good times and the bad times, as I one time read. But some people ask, well, then why do I feel something special when I worship? Why do I feel warm feelings in my heart when I study the Bible or when I engage in other kind of activities with fellow Christians? Well, the truth of the matter is, the gospel is working upon your heart and you find comfort because of that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting today that emotion needs to be completely divorced from religion. Religion moves men and women to feel various emotions. We're commanded to experience love and hope and joy. Following Christ means feeling sorrow. Following Christ means feeling hate towards sin. Following Christ means feeling fear as well. We will experience emotions when we give our lives over to Jesus, but those emotions are not our guide. The Word of our Lord Jesus Christ and the God of all the heavens and the earth, that is our guide. And so, for many people in the world in which we live, there is a lot of confusion about making decisions and how to worship and how to treat other people. And the truth of the matter is that many times we conflate the emotions we feel in our heart with the presence of God. And we need to be very careful when we do that, because the Bible tells us that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light and to our path. And so I would simply encourage you, friend, to search God's Word in order to know His will. The Bible tells us in various passages of Scripture the wonderful blessings that can come from doing so. The capacity to feel and express emotions is a wonderful blessing and gift from God. It allows us to respond to the wonderful truths found in God's Word. It motivates us to higher levels of service in response to His will. But like all good things, the capacity to experience emotion must be properly used and often kept in check. To avoid both the extreme of only emotionalism in our worship and service, and the absence of it completely, we have to let our hearts be deeply moved by the Word of God, and to let such emotions provoke us to bear the proper fruit that God desires. As the Bible says in Romans 15 and 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, the truth is that God's presence will eventually be felt in the way that many people claim. But God's presence will be felt ultimately when we all enter in through the pearly gates into the city where He dwells. And so let's not cheapen that by conflating our personal feelings with the presence of God. Hey, here's an idea. Instead of focusing on feeling God's presence, instead of focusing on God's presence pleasing us, how about instead we focus on living our lives so that we can please Him? Thank you.